Who doesn't love a cheeseburger? All-American meal, right? And what if you had to eat one every day? And what if you had to eat more burgers and fast food breakfasts as well? That's the concept behind Morgan Spurlock's movie Supersize Me, which opened last Friday here in St. Louis. It is playing at the Tivoli down on the Loop. And I've been talking about this movie for quite a while because I've been looking forward to it. Last week, we actually had a woman named So-So Whaley on the show. She's the woman who also ate every meal at McDonald's for a month. She lost weight, but Morgan gained weight and made his adventure into a movie, which is called Supersize Me. And I've been waiting to get him on here to talk about it, and here he is. Hello, Morgan.
Hey, man, how are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Good, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. So for the movie, you gained, what, 25 pounds, was it?
24 and a half pounds in a month, yeah. My cholesterol jumped up 65 points. My liver basically filled with fat over the course of the 30 days, putting me en route to getting what the doctors called non-alcoholic steatohepatitis, which would have led to, you know, hardening of the liver, cirrhosis of the liver, you know, really, really scary stuff.
How are you today? First of all, how long ago was this? Because I know how long it takes to make a movie.
Yeah, it was over a year. So this would have been February and March of last year.
Are you back down to your pre-movie weight?
I am back down to my fighting weight of 185 and a half pounds. Yeah.
Okay. Now, when I've talked about you in the past, I've talked about what's the agenda behind this guy. And one thing I haven't seen addressed with you is, what was your diet before you started doing this?
Sure. I mean, I pretty much ate whatever I wanted. You know, I live with a vegan. My girlfriend is a vegan chef who's in the movie. So whenever I eat dinner with her, usually she cooks like vegetarian or vegan food. But during the day, it's like I eat steaks and, you know, fried chicken or chicken sandwiches or tuna salad or pasta or whatever. And then, you know, breakfast, like bacon, egg and cheeses and, you know, the bagels with cream cheese. You know, I'm a big fan of the swine, so I love the bacon.
Mmm, swine.
That's right. So, that's the good stuff right there.
Yeah, oh yeah. If you could get it fried, that's even better.
Oh, come on.
Were you a big eater of McDonald's food before you started this?
I would usually eat more McDonald's when I would travel. You know, I live in New York City, and there's just so many better places to get a burger. You know, as I'm sure there probably are in St. Louis as well. So, you know, for me, it's like if I'm going to eat a cheeseburger, you know, which I love cheeseburgers, I'm going to go somewhere that makes a really good cheeseburger.
Yeah.
But if you travel, you know, and you're stuck in the airport, and it's like, wow, Cinnabon or McDonald's, what am I going to do? You know, those are my two choices. Well, so, usually I would probably grab, you know, McDonald's then.
You see, I'm such a big pig, I would say, why choose?
Yeah, come on, how about a Cinnabon and a McDonald's?
can I get a burger on a Cinnabon? Let's go!
See, now you're talking. Let's combine. I think they have it. Now it's called a McGriddle, you know, which is the pancakes.
All right, now, now 90 days you did, I mean 30,
no, 30 days.
30 days, 90 meals.
90 meals, snacks, desserts, the works, yeah.
Are there 90 menu items, or did you have to double up?
No, there are. I went through the menu like two or three times over the course of the whole thing, probably about three times total.
Did you develop a favorite?
Oh, the Big Macs are still the best.
Yeah.
You know, the Big Macs are fantastic, you know. And the new McGriddles, as I said before, those evil little creations taste fantastic.
The McGriddle is bacon and egg on pancakes.
In between two pancakes with the syrup cooked right into the pancake.
Oh, that's good stuff. it's a little messy to hold, but it's good to eat, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's a time saver. Look at the time you're saving. It's a full breakfast in one sandwich.
And your least favorite?
The Filet-O-Fishes are still terrible. I don't know what's up with those things. And probably one of the worst tasting things on the menu are those, is like, in certain places you can get a veggie burger.
Yeah.
And the veggie burger, it's like, you know, they put millions of dollars into research and development to make those McGriddles taste great. Why can't they make that thing even slightly edible?
Well,
it's terrible.
I contend that nobody can make a veggie burger taste great. Even your vegan chef girlfriend.
She makes a pretty good veggie burger. I don't know.
All right. Now, I apologize because I haven't seen the movie. I wanted to, and we were actually thinking you'd be on here next week, and I was going to see it this weekend.
Oh, good. You should go out this weekend and check it out.
I'm planning to, but you know, this interview today came up really quickly, so I haven't had a chance to see it. But tell me a little bit about the personal responsibility angle, and do you address it at all in the movie?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing, the film really asked the question, and this is like the crux of the film, is where do we draw the line between personal responsibility and corporate responsibility? Because in America, we tend to really overeat. We overeat and we under-exercise, and we all want to blame somebody. We all want to point fingers. And what we need to realize is, you know, we need to accept some responsibility for what we're shoving in our mouths. But at the same point, a company like a McDonald's that feeds 46 million people a day, you know, I mean, they feed more than the entire population of Spain daily. So do they have an obligation to help educate their consumers about how often they should eat certain things, especially when we live in a time where now kids are going to school and we don't have health education in school anymore. We're eliminating it. You know, so should they help teach people how to eat their food or how often they should have it? I think they do. I think they have an obligation to help educate people or at least give them more information to make better choices, which isn't available.
I would contend that they have no such obligation any more than the local Chinese restaurant or the local Italian restaurant. I'm sure if you went to a local Chinese restaurant and ate three meals a day there, there every day.
Oh, that's what happened anyway. I mean, the thing is, I would have gained this weight. I picked McDonald's. This isn't an attack on McDonald's, and that's what So-So Whaley and all of our other little corporate agenda people want to make this. The film is an attack on our lifestyle in America. In America, we have turned to the drive-thrus for the majority of our diet now. In 1970, we spent $3 billion on fast food. Today, we spend about $115 billion. You know, we have made this a normal part of our eating regime while exercising less. And what we need to realize all of these choices that we make that are high in fat, high in sugar, without expending those calories are putting us on a path to have illnesses. And that's what you see in the film. I mean, we're in the movie, you know, I develop, you know, all of these problems with my body, you know, my liver problems, my elevated cholesterol, the weight gain. This film is a snapshot of your life. The things that are happening to me will happen to you over 20, 30, 40 years if you have this type of a diet and don't exercise.
Except that in the movie, you eat large quantities of food every time you go there, don't
people,
you?
People, I know, I mean, it wasn't like overeating when I would go there. In the course of a day, I would probably eat 4,500 to 5,000 calories a day.
That's a lot of calories.
Well, it's a lot of calories for the, you know, just for from a weight gain standpoint. But people eat. You got to think. Let's say you and I go to an Outback Steakhouse, okay? So here's what it is. All during the week, you know, I've eaten, you know, fast food once a day. And now Friday, you know what? I'm going to treat myself right. Me and you, we're going to go to Outback. And so we sit down and we order a Bloomin' Onion.
Yep.
So just the Bloomin' Onion comes. And just that, you and I are splitting it. That's 2,500 calories, just the Bloomin' Onion.
Okay.
And now our salad comes with our dressing. And our steak comes. And then our potato and then another side. And then we get a Coke with dinner. And then we get dessert and a coffee. And so now you and I have each had about 4,000 calories in one meal. So the fact is, as unrealistic as they say that this diet is or this amount of calories is, it's so rooted into the reality of how we live in America. Because we don't pay attention to what we eat. We don't pay attention to our intake. And we eat too much than we need. We eat more than we need.
But when people do the kind of meal you just suggested, which, by the way, made my mouth water incredibly, people don't do that every day.
You know what people do every day? People get up in the morning and they go to McDonald's and they get an Egg McMuffin and a hash brown and a coffee and a juice. And then for lunch, they go to Wendy's and they get burgers and fries and a Coke. And for dinner, they go home and order a pizza. And they say, well, you know what? No, I eat different places all day long. I'm fine.
And why is it the corporation's responsibility to tell us that? I know that they feed a lot of us, but I think this feeds into the victim mentality.
Here's what I think they need to do. I mean, I think that they say, listen, we have nutrition information available. You know, that way you know how much, you know, you're getting. But this information is too hard to find. It's like this information isn't even in there in half these stores. We went all over New York City, and one out of four stores have no information whatsoever. And McDonald's response was, well, three out of four did. Okay, so you're saying that so that means all over the world they have 30,000 restaurants, 7,500 of them, one out of four. It's okay to not tell anybody at all, well, you know, what they're serving. You know, I think that when you feed as many people as a huge corporation does, you have an obligation to help people make smart choices, especially when this has become such a normal staple of our lives. You know, and parents, once again, do parents have responsibility in this? Absolutely we do. Parents have a huge responsibility to help educate their kids. You know, when parents eat out 4, 5, 6 days a week with their kids and they don't exercise, you know, you lead by example. You're going to raise kids that eat out 4, 5, 6 days a week and don't exercise.
And so now we're talking about, again, the people who are making bad choices, and shouldn't we blame the people?
Well, okay, so let's talk about what something else we talk about in the movie. One of the things we really dive into in the school in terms of this fast food, this lifestyle that we're now leading, is schools. You go to a school lunch, and you go to schools in America, and the school lunches are terrible. The school lunches have been completely hijacked by, you know, fast food and junk food companies. You go in there, and it's like the kids are eating in a 7-Eleven. You know, they got candy and ho-hos and ding-dongs and soda and chips and cookies and pizza and ice cream. And so now, so this is what their lunchtime. But what are they doing during the day? Well, now we're eliminating phys ed from schools because, you know, we don't have time to study for the test, so we're getting rid of phys ed. So we're telling kids physical exercise isn't that important. It's not that important for your life.
You're absolutely right. I can't stand the fact that my daughter only goes to gym 2 or 3 days a week, which is, you know.
Lucky. Some places it's not even that. Some places it's once a week or once every 2 weeks.
But I also know that if you go to a school and you put a salad bar in there, the line is going to be a lot longer for the kids who want to line up for the grilled cheese sandwiches and French fries than it will be for the salads.
See, the thing is that you hear these people at school say, well, you got to teach the kids to make choices. No, you don't. If this school is the place where these are supposedly the surrogate parents, where we're educating our kids, then we don't give them choices between like ice cream and broccoli. Because you know what? No kid's going to take the broccoli. Kids are going to get what they love. Kids love the stuff that tastes sweet, that's good, that's filled with sugar. And then little Johnny goes to class, and they're like, oh, my God, the kids don't pay attention. I don't, you know, gosh, they're doing so badly on the test. They've got ADD, ADHD. Let's put them on Ritalin. You know what? Let's get the junk out of schools.
So is part of your argument that kids and adults both just need to eat less of this sort of stuff?
I mean, the thing is this, we've turned this into our staple of our diet.
I mean, you don't mind somebody going in as part of their diet, going and having the occasional Big Mac, the occasional quarter pounder with cheese.
I love cheeseburgers this day. I will go get a cheeseburger, you know, and probably sometime in the next 2 to 3 weeks. But I don't make that a regular part of my diet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't make going to McDonald's a regular part of my diet. And I think we need to make smarter choices.
What do you think of some of these lawsuits that people like John Banjoff and others have filed against the fast food industry?
You know, I'm not a litigious person. I think there's so many better ways to make change happen. But, you know, from their standpoint, if they think it's going to be, you know, that a lawsuit is the only way to really, you know, make some people wake up, you know, then that's their prerogative. My feeling is there's a lot of better ways to deal with things.
Okay. Do you think that the fast food industry or the food industry on the whole, let's not just put it on McDonald's,
sure,
as you said.
No, I mean, it's the food industry on a whole. It's all of the foods that are – I mean, here's what I think. I think that the best foods for you should cost the least amount of money. I think when you walk into a grocery store, you should be able to get a huge bag of, like, organic apples for a nickel. You know, and I think a huge sack of cookies that you can get these giant bags of cookies for like $3, that bag of cookies should be $50.
Yeah, here's the difference, though. You can get a machine to make cookies. You can't get a machine to make apples.
Yeah.
You got to pay the people who are going to pick
them. And we're getting all these other companies that are making these, you know, cookies, all of these subsidies and all these tax breaks. And it's like, why aren't we helping some of these farmers in America? You know, why aren't some of these other agribusinesses making their, you know, getting these vegetables out and making them cheaper for all of these low-income communities?
Do you think the food industry is selling a defective product?
I think that the food industry is out to make money. And what's happened is, you know, through this low-cost, low-quality product, you know, they've been able to generate mass amounts of income. And so that's what gets pushed.
But it's not defective. There's not you couldn't go to them and, for instance, take them to court and say, you sold me a defective cheeseburger.
I mean, I don't even know what a defective cheeseburger would be unless it was something that didn't please me.
Well, there are no pickles on this thing.
Something's wrong with it.
I want more pickles on this thing. There weren't enough pickles. No, I mean the way they sued the tobacco industry, saying,
yeah,
"Hey, you know what, you guys."
Well, see, the difference between a tobacco. See, here's the thing: like tobacco and alcohol, you know, those are things you don't really need to do. You know, you don't need to smoke.
No,
you don't need to drink. But everybody needs to eat.
But my point about the tobacco suits was they sued and they said the tobacco industry hyped up the tobacco, the nicotine level,
right,
and made the product more addictive. Do you think
the food industry does that?
You
know, over the course of me eating this food, this high-fat, high-sugar food, I started to get massive headaches while I was eating it. And the minute I would start to eat the food, they would go away. You know, when I went off the diet, I was having these periods that were very withdrawal-like symptoms of headaches and body aches and sweats and shakes. And I thought, you know, I'm not a big believer that says, you know, thinks that they're adding addictive quality. So I think your body becomes very attuned to eating a high-fat, high-sugar, high-caffeine diet.
But do you think they're lying to their customers?
In terms of, you know, that I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know that the tobacco companies for years did and told people that they didn't do these things. So, I mean, I think they manipulate their customers. I don't know if they lie so much, but I don't know.
Manipulate how?
I think that the way they target kids from such a young age is really the way that it's ingrained in them. One of the great scenes in the movie, which you're going to love this, is we go to a school and we're talking to first graders and we're showing them pictures. And we show them pictures of George Washington, and a couple of them know George Washington. And we show them pictures of Jesus, and none of them know Jesus. And then we show them a picture of Ronald McDonald, and every single one of them knows Ronald McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to say, you know, what's going on in our society when no one will recognize a picture of Jesus Christ, you know, with it, but it's so ingrained into them who Ronald McDonald is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that type of marketing, that type of conditioning, where from a very young age, they know. A friend of mine has their kid goes to preschool, and this is even pre-kindergarten, and there's a Ronald McDonald reading library where they make these books available to preschools, and here's this big, you know, Ronald McDonald cardboard character with his arms out holding like a case of books that are all McDonald-made books.
Yep. Yep.
You know, in there.
Oh, I know. And I had a thing.
And for me, I mean, that is so insidious.
And I had a thing with my daughter. I think she was in second grade, and there was a little math thing in one of her books, and it was count how high the stack of Oreos is.
Yeah, the Oreos, the Reese's Pieces, or the M&M counting books.
Yeah, and I know that there's product placement going on there, which many people are not aware of, and that is insidious. But on the other hand, you know, maybe the kids didn't know about Jesus because you did it at a synagogue school, Morgan.
Yeah, they were all Jewish.
No,
I don't think so.
Now I mentioned I mentioned So-So Whaley, who I guess you and she don't see eye to eye at all on
this.
Yeah,
well, So-So works with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, which is a Washington, D.C.-based food-funded lobby group.
All right, I asked her about that. She said she does not work for them at all. They are helping her publicize what she did, but that she did it on her own and that she does not work for the fast food industry and has taken no money from anybody with that agenda.
Well, I'm sure she hasn't taken money, but why is the Competitive Enterprise, a group that is funded by the food industry, pushing her so hard? You know, why is she an adjunct fellow? If you go to her website, she's an adjunct fellow for them.
That's the label that they gave her, she said.
Yeah, the label I gave her?
No, the label that they gave her so that they could promote what she's doing.
You know what? She was on their website before she started this. You know, it wasn't like that just magically came there.
But all of that aside, she says and provides the receipts on her website that she went to McDonald's, ate three meals a day, lost some weight, and her cholesterol went down.
Well, here's the two things that she did in her diet, which no American does. And she says in her diary about doing this, she says, I went to McDonald's and I was eating less and I was exercising.
Yes.
That's a great thing. You know what? No American eats less and we don't exercise.
But isn't her model the one that we should have, which is count your calories, watch what you do, and work out?
I think we all need to pay more attention to what we eat. I don't think anybody needs to eat McDonald's every day, period. I don't think any of us need to be going there for our meals. I think that we need to pay more attention to where we're getting our calories from. There's quality of calories as well. And, you know, if you look at the amount of sugar and the amount of sodium that is in this food that you're still taking in, you know, you shouldn't be eating that much food, you know, that much sugar. I mean, the calories are empty calories. The nutrition value in a lot of this food is incredibly lacking.
One last thing I got to ask you about. One of my pet peeves when I go to any food establishment is horrible, horrible service.
Yeah, and it was just when you thought like the service couldn't get any worse, it's getting worse in a fast food restaurant.
And you went to 90 meals at different McDonald's, not the same one. You traveled around the country. Did you find anywhere where you said to yourself, "Wow, these people are really good at service"?
Texas.
Oh, yeah?
People in Texas are so nice, and they were so attentive, you know, and they're really on top of it, and you know. They also have 5 out of the top 10 fattest cities in America. They're fantastic.
Well, maybe that's because the people are so nice.
They're so nice.
Maybe.
They're so nice. You know, they ask you to supersize, you just want to take it. You do.
How many meals did you not supersize, by the way?
Well, they only offered, because anytime they would offer it in the film, I had to. That was part of the rules that I set up for myself.
Uh-huh.
And so overall, out of the entire 60 meals, they only offered it 9 times. They only asked me 9 times.
Okay. So, and the other thing I got to ask you is, since I asked this of So-So, who did you take money from for this?
I funded the whole thing myself. I funded the entire production of the movie myself. My production company that's based in New York City paid for it.
And did any anti-McDonald's or anti-food industry groups put you on their masthead or get behind
you? I'm on nobody's masthead.
You
know what? I'm a filmmaker who wanted to make a great movie that dealt with a really serious topic in a way that would make people talk about it and make people examine this subject. And I think one of the things that McDonald's says about the movies, they say, this was such a wonderful opportunity that has been wasted to really begin a dialogue about making healthy choices. And I find that to be so laughable because more dialogue is happening now around this issue than I've seen in years. I mean, this movie has really lit the fuse in a way that I never imagined possible. And it's exciting and it's gratifying and it's fantastic to think that now we have this window of opportunity where change could actually be possible.
Well, I'm going to go out and take a look at it and make up my own mind about what you did.
And that's what everyone should do. I mean, people who question the film and say, you know what, you can't blame McDonald's. I don't blame McDonald's. Go see the movie.
Okay.
Everybody should go there. I mean, the film will impact the way you look at food and the way you eat. It'll really change your outlook in a lot of ways.
And more than anything, it'll impact Morgan Spurlock's personal bottom line, which is not a bad thing at all.
If I can get out of my little shoebox apartment and get out of debt, I'll be the happiest guy on the planet.
Which is not a bad thing at all. Thank you for your time today, Morgan. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Morgan
Bye-bye.
Spurlock, the man behind the movie Supersize Me, here on the Paul Harris Show.